the sky. There was a bite in the air, unusually sharp for early December. A heavy overcast screened the afternoon sun, and beyond the river, umber plains stretched onward like a burnt-out sea. Shifting in the saddle, Langham tested the wind, searching for the scent of snow. A slight northerly breeze was crisp and dry, but he'd weathered too many storms in the panhandle not to recognize the signs of oncoming winter. Soon, he told himself, the blizzards would howl down off the high plains and blanket the land with snow. Which meant today might very well be his last chance to inspect the line camps until spring melt-off. To Langham, the line camps were a hedge that often spelled the difference between disaster and a profitable year. As the largest rancher in the Texas panhandle, his LX spread was much too big to be manned from the home compound. Like a small nation, it needed outposts during the long plains winter. Spotted every 6 miles around the 50-mile perimeter, these outposts formed a fence of sorts on the open range. Cattle had a tendency to drift with a storm, or to mindlessly gather in bunches, shivering and hungry, and starve to death rather than seek out graze. The line riders patrolled between their stations, holding the cows on Alex land and driving them to hillsides where wind had blown snow off the grass. A grueling task. It was a job assigned to the most trustworthy men on Langham's crew. Without them, the winter kill alone would have soon bankrupted the LX. Yet, while Langham himself had handpicked the line riders, he understood that even the best of men occasionally needed prodding. Life in a line camp, which consisted of a one-room cabin and a log corral, was a solitary existence. With the onset of winter, a line rider often went for weeks at a time without seeing another human. The loneliness and the drudgery of herding stubborn cattle through snowdrifts could sour a man, slowly work on his spirit and turn him lax. A surprise visit and a word of encouragement would do much to bolster that spirit. And the uncertainty, never knowing when to expect another visit, gave the men something to ponder on cold winter nights. Langham knocked the dottle from his pipe, thoughtful a moment. He was privately amused that the men considered him the original son of a bitch, far more demanding than Jack Noonan, the ranch foreman. At his age, it was no small compliment, one he meant to preserve. He nurtured it at every opportunity. Stuffing the pipe in his pocket, Langham gathered the reins and kneed his horse into the water. Once across the river, he turned west and rode along the shelter belt of trees bordering the shore. His thoughts now centered on Shorty Phillips, who was stationed at a line camp several miles upstream. He debated staying for supper, then quickly decided against it. No slouch as a cowhand, Phillips's cooking could gag a dog off a gut wagon. Some while later, Langham crested a wooded knoll and hauled back sharply on the reins. Below, where the tree line thinned out, several riders were hazing a bunch of cows away from the river. At first glance, he thought some of the crew were moving cattle to another section of range. Then he looked closer and realized none of the men rode for LX. The bastards were cow thieves. And they were rustling his stock. Langham reacted instinctively, his hand moving to the carbine in his saddle scabbard. But blind anger quickly gave way to cool judgment. He counted 7 men and forced himself to admit the odds were too great. He needed help, even if it meant allowing the rustlers to escape for the moment. His mind turned to Shorty Phillips, estimating time and distance. Within the hour, he could have Phillips riding for the home compound. Another 3 hours, 4 at the outside, and Phillips could return with most of the LX crew. By nightfall, they would be on the rustler's trail and easily overtake them at first light. The conclusion, though delayed, would be no less satisfying. A stiff rope and a short drop always settled a rustler's hash. The plan formulated, Langham shoved the carbine back in the scabbard and gathered his reins. So intent had he been on the rustlers that the whir of a gun hammer caught him completely unawares. He turned,